Well, here we are again tonight. We want to thank you sincerely for coming. The meetings continue. We certainly appreciate all who are helping us every night. Trust the Lord will bless His word further. Every night at 7:30, except Saturday, we're here in the will of the Lord. Now, if you're interested in salvation, this is your time. People don't get saved every day. And so it's God's mind that you should, but we need help from the God of heaven as we continue. Now I want to read some basic familiar scriptures tonight. We're starting off in the book of the Acts, chapter 17. Acts, please, chapter 17. There's a little word that has been on my heart now for very early this morning and right throughout this day. We use it all the time. We're going to read about it in these scriptures. I'll point it out to you. It's the little word, because. Because. Listen to this. Verse number 30. And the times of this ignorant God passed over. That's what it means. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now there's your word. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. See verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day. Luke chapter 19 now, please. Luke's Gospel chapter 19. Look at verse number 41. Here's the Lord Jesus moving into the city of Jerusalem as he moves to Golgotha. Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Proverbs chapter 1, for another verse I've been thinking about today. I was reading this here very early this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse number 24. Here's the God of heaven talking. Here's your word again. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at not all my counsel, would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. These are solemn words. See verse 24. Because I have called and ye refuse. I'll read you one more in John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, please. Chapter 14. Now here's the opposite. I want you to think of this verse. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. That's the Lord Jesus talking. But ye see me. Here's your word again. Because I live, ye shall live also. Well, that's all we're going to read tonight. I want to talk about this little word, because. I want you to listen carefully tonight. Here's just a slightly different approach in the gospel message. We thank God, first of all, for every soul that has been saved this year across the world, and every other year that has come and gone. But there are millions in the world tonight, and they are unbelievers. I want to ask a question. Are there reasons why these people are not saved? And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, we're happy to see you. But I want to leave in your mind tonight, have you a reason why you're not saved tonight? You know you need to be saved. God says that. God desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yet people are not saved. So I'd like to ask you tonight, have you a genuine reason why you're not saved? Now to put that across, I was thinking of this word because. See, in the English language, it's called a conjunction. It has been well defined that in any given sentence, if it has two ideas in it, and there's a statement made, and then there's because, and the explanation is given. Now, that's the format of these verses I have read to you tonight. Let me just go over them with you. You see, God says tonight to all of us, the ignorance of people God passes over. But now commandeth all men to be saved. Because. See, that's the linking word. That's the conjunction word. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the habitable world. That's Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of the living nations. He will establish his righteousness on this earth before he stands at the great white throne and so on. See, there's the first reason why people are not saved. They have never repented of their sin. Now, I'm going to say something about that and move on. Here's another one. The Lord Jesus Christ is moving toward the city of Jerusalem to fulfill Old Testament scripture, and he's moving eastward, and he's going across that great mountain called the Mount of Olivet. There's a certain place where you can see the city of Jerusalem from that spot. And it says, he beheld the city and he wept over it. And without going down all the different things he said about it, what he's really telling these people, there's a day coming when there won't be one stone left upon another. And that was fulfilled historically when Titus, the Roman governor, came in AD 70 and wiped the city. Those people perished. And somebody says, well, why did that happen? Or what would happen? There's your word again. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I would like to suggest that maybe you're here tonight and you have not sensed, recognized, realized that this is an opportunity for you to be saved at this time. Let me just make this comment. None of us can get saved when they like. People tell me all the time, when I get matured and retired and settled down in life, I'll think about it. God is calling people tonight as we have sung. And here's a visitation from this part of the world. around this very village and area. And people are not saved tonight because they don't realize God is calling on them. You're interested tonight? I want to tell you this. This is God's time for you. Now is the accepted time. Here's another one. See, the Lord says, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He says, I'm going to visit you. And whenever God's in control, he will laugh at the calamity of dear people who refuse the message of the gospel. Now, I want you to think about this tonight. Is this the reason why you're not saved to this point? You've refused the gospel of the grace of God. Somebody said that's terrible tidings. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to know tonight. And before I'm done, in a very simple way, I want to go up the other side. And I want to show you that it's possible for you to be saved right now in this very meeting tonight. Here's what the Lord said. Because I live. He's in heaven tonight in the power of an indissoluble life. And because he lives, we can live also. And the only way we're going to live in the enjoyment of salvation is to take him as Savior and go on our way rejoicing. Now, let me just deal with this just very, very simply. I was just wondering now, if I was sitting in your place tonight and somebody else talking to me along this line, I wonder what I would think. You know one of the reasons why you're not saved, friend, tonight? To be very honest and kind and direct, you've never repented of your sin. That's what Paul told these people, intellectuals of their day, have an altar to the unknown God. This is the very God of eternity. And he's telling them, God commands all men everywhere to repent. See, this ignorance he passed over. But he gives the truth to these people before he left in Athens on Mars Hill on this occasion. So let me just explain to you tonight in a very, very simple way. What is repentance all about? We've likely talked about it several nights, but it's on my heart to tell you tonight, dear soul, that the reason that you are maybe not saved is because you have never repented of your sin. And that means in a very simple way that a person, when they repent, they take God's view of things, not self's view. God's view of sin. Desperately wicked before God. God's view of self. What I am in Adam. God's view of the world that we're living in. Wicked men waxing worse and worse. Seducers seducing and being deceived. And the days are darker. Very few know anything about repentance. But if you're ever going to be saved and be in heaven, you need to repent. That's what Paul preached. Repentance toward God. A change of mind toward God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord said? Except ye repent, you'll perish. Somebody says, well, why do you preach like that? Because this passage says, because he has appointed a day when the habitable world, the earth, will be judged. You just think of the generation that we're living in. Most people live as if there's no God to meet. There's no eternity to face. Forget tomorrow. It's today. God has the whole thing established. And the one that will be the judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised him from the dead. Would you ask yourself a simple question as we move on tonight? Here's reason number one that I'm not saved. Here's reason number two. These people didn't realize, they didn't recognize that this was their opportunity. See, these people around Jerusalem, they heard more of the Lord Jesus, they had seen more of his outstanding miracles. They had the opportunity of being saved. But they didn't realize it. No wonder Isaiah asked the question, what will you do in the solemn day of visitation? And it's likely that God is visiting families and districts and this very village around here and other places. This is the day of visitation for this area. But people don't recognize it. You probably don't even accept what I'm telling you, but I have lived long enough in the world to find out that people were honest, and they used to tell me about times when God visited them. They had thoughts about eternity and about their sin and about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did nothing about it. I met an older man in another city some time ago, and I invited him to the meeting. Now listen to this. He says, Stan, I won't tell you, man. I won't go near the door. I said, why not? He says, as a young boy of 15 years of age, I was very concerned about my sin and about God and about eternity and about meeting the Lord Jesus. And I put it off. I didn't realize that God was giving me an opportunity. And I didn't take it. You know what? I haven't had a thought about my soul since. And he says, I've taken to alcohol and I'll soon be gone. He's in eternity a long time ago. Have I got near to you tonight, friend? Do you understand where you're at? This is God's day of visitation for you. Now, what are you going to do about the Lord Jesus? These people were singing Hosanna in the heavens to the Son of David, and it was a tremendous day. And these songs went across the valley Kidron. But the Lord Jesus wailed when he thought of what was happening. He realized that these people that apparently were interested didn't realize this was their opportunity. Short time down the road, they went into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear people, I could tell you story after story of people who came to gospel meetings like you, and they were interested and stirred about salvation, but they didn't realize the urgency required. The visitation passed. They're not saved yet. Please, people, don't get into that category. Here's another one. See, the God of heaven is kind. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. And he calls men. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgiven, he lifted me. Friend, we've sung, the Savior is calling for thee. He's called a long time for some of you. He's calling again tonight. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? The Master is come and calleth for thee. Here's the response. God says, because I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have said it not all my counsel. You didn't want anything to do with salvation. The day is coming when I'll be in charge. And he says in this very section, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When desolation overtakes you as a flood. That's a reminder that people who leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ and eventually land in hell. You ever think you'll be there, friend? If you miss your opportunity, that's where you're going. Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven shall their happy portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Can I get across to you tonight? You don't realize the precarious situation that you're in. And as the nights roll on, you have a decision to make. And we desire that you will choose the right choice and choose the Lord Jesus and salvation and heaven and all that's right from the Holy Bible. But the day that we're living in, the years slip away, the days and the months and the minutes and the hours, and before we know, the lights will be out in the hall and will be gone. Friend of mine, do you understand that God is calling you tonight? That's what we sung about. Think of the solemn end of it. What if he should strive nevermore? Leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance, you have drifted away over the dead line tonight. I ask people many, many times, can you see yourself leaving earth and moving to eternity and where you'll be? Somebody says, that's terrible preaching, I don't like that. Well, friend, it's our responsibility to get the word from God and to warn you faithfully and kindly and tenderly. I want to go up the other side. Maybe there's somebody in this audience and you're interested in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ told his own. He says, in a little while you won't see me. That's in the upper room, hours before Calvary. And he says, in a little while you will see me. That's resurrection. 3 days after crucifixion. And he wants to encourage him and he says, listen, men, because I live, you will live also. Do you know why there's salvation available tonight, friend, for you and for me? The Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in the power of an endless life. You sat down at God's right hand. And he's waiting the moment when he'll come into the air to call his waiting people home. But because of what he has done, death, burial, and resurrection, because he lives, you and I can live also. And the only way we're going to live in this sense is to take him right now as your personal and eternal Savior. Somebody says, how? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. To as many as received him, to them give he the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Here's another one I was thinking about today we should quote. Romans 10 and 9. We haven't quoted it maybe a night or two. We should quote it again. You like to be saved tonight? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's Saul of Tarsus' conversion. As soon as he heard the voice from heaven, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And right there, he took Christ as Savior. You can do the very same tonight. Ask yourself now, as our brother will hear to preach to you, why am I not saved? God has made every provision for me, has given me this opportunity right now. Why am I not saved? You answer honestly before God, and if you really want salvation, you can have it tonight. Because I live, ye shall live also. Thank you very much.
Gospel of Mark again tonight, please. Mark chapter 5. Read with me at verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Now this is called the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord was glorified before Peter and James and John. And Moses and Elias were there, and it would have been quite a sight to see. And we'll just start at verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And suddenly, or immediately, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Gospel of Luke, please. Luke 23. Verse 8. Now what's taking place in the context here is Pilate has seen the Lord Jesus the first time, and he sends him to Herod because he's in Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod was in Jerusalem. Verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And one more in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary, this is after the crucifixion and the Lord is risen again, and she's at the grave, at the tomb. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, and so on. Lord will bless to us the reading of his word, what we've listened to already. I was reading today in chapter 9 when they were with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw no man but Jesus only. Would have been quite a sight to see the shining and the brightness of the glory of the Lord, and Moses and Elias, and it's hard to understand how that Peter and James and John would recognize them, and they would see this great sight there, and then all of a sudden, they only see Jesus. I was thinking as Stan was speaking, perhaps the reason someone's not saved tonight is because they've never seen the Lord Jesus. I'd like to look at four people that saw him. We're going to start in Mark chapter 5. And here's a man that sees him in all of his sin and all of his misery. He's a maniac. He's filled with many demons. And there he is, and he's living among the tombs, and that was his house, and people tried to tame him, if you want to put it that way, and they could not. He just broke the chains and the fetters, and he had supernatural strength in that way. But when he saw Jesus get off the ship, he says, immediately, he ran, and it says he worshipped him. You really think about what takes place in that story, it's pretty amazing. That here is a man that is full of these demons, and he sees the Lord Jesus and recognizes him for who he is, and he runs to him. And all of his misery, and all of his sin, and all of his problems that couldn't be cured by any, that couldn't be helped by any, and he runs to him, and he worships him, and the Lord Jesus heals him. What a change in that man. There he is, just a maniac. And then they see him clothed and in his right mind. We didn't take time to read that part. But he saw the Lord Jesus when he was in a time of deep need, deepest need. A time when no man could help him. And he saw the Lord Jesus. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever had a need? I agree with Stan. Sometimes people aren't saved because they never see their need. And we're going to get to Herod in just a little bit. But this man, he saw the Lord Jesus afar off, and he saw him while he was yet in his time of deepest need, in his darkest hour, if you will. And he saw him, and he ran to him, and he worshipped him, and the Lord saved him, the Lord rescued him, the Lord healed him. And it was done. And he wanted to go with the Lord, but the Lord says, no, you go back and you tell your family how great things the Lord hath done for you. And that's what he did. What a marvelous picture of salvation. In a person's deepest need, they can see the Lord Jesus. Do you think it was an accident that he went there? It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't circumstance. But the Lord Jesus went to right to where he was. And he knew when he got off that boat that that man would see him. And he knew that that man needed him. And so he made himself available. And that man, when he saw him, he ran to him. He didn't dilly-dally around. He didn't have to stop and think about it. He didn't have to stop and pray about it. This was his opportunity. This was his chance. And so he runs to him. And there's a great blessing that follows. And there's great glory brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the next man? We'll talk about Mark 9, I suppose, on the way by. These disciples, Peter and James and John, they saw something that no man had seen really before. The glory of the Lord. And there was a cloud there. And you can almost see as you're reading, if you put yourself as a little mouse in the corner, you can see that the excitement and the awesome wonder that these men would be in. What is taking place here? Here's this man that we've seen him, the carpenter. We've seen him, we've followed him, and now all of a sudden they go up to the mountain and there's the glow of the glory of the Lord, and they see Moses and Elias, and Peter just doesn't know what to say. And so he says, we're going to build you some booths, we're going to build you tents. And then all of a sudden, the voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. You see, the focus wasn't on the other men. It wasn't on the other two. The focus was on Christ. And then after God spoke from the cloud, they looked up and immediately they saw no man but Jesus only. Their focus has changed. You see, they're trying to take in everything. And that's how we would be. We would be there and we'd see this great miracle and our eyes would be scanning and we'd be trying to comprehend the whole thing. But that's not what God was interested in. He wanted them to see the Lord Jesus for who He was and see Him in His glory. What a privilege to see Him that way. And it's like God takes away all the distractions. And at the right time, at the right moment, when the distractions are gone, they lift up their eyes and they see Him in His glory. You know, there's a day coming I'm going to see Him in His glory. And all the distractions of this earth are going to be taken away. My friend, tonight, if you're not saved, God is seeking this very night to show you His beloved Son. To show you Him in all of His glory. To get a little look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that suffered upon the cross, the man that died, the man that gave His life a ransom for many, the one who God has raised again from the dead. God wants to show you the man that's risen again. You won't see him with your physical eyes. We're going to get to that when we come to Mary Magdalene. But you see, the focus of the busyness of the day. Lots of things are going on today. And your mind has been trying to comprehend your surroundings. Friend, could we just focus for a few minutes at the end of this meeting and just focus on the Lord Jesus only? Just on Him. Not utter self. Sometimes we talk to people that want to be saved, and you know where their focus is? Their focus is inside. And they look at themselves and they say, if I could only understand my sin, I could be saved. If I could only understand what it means to repent, I could be saved. If I would only feel more lost, I could be saved. You see what that is? That's just focusing on the whole thing. Let's just stop and focus on Christ. See Him afar off and draw near. That's what the man did in Mark 5. He saw Him afar off and he recognized Him and he drew near. What happened on the mount? There were others with Him. There were the two. And that had to be taken away. The focus of the sinner must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus of the saint must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there He is. Alone. You see, the maniac, he didn't care who was with him. He saw the Lord Jesus. And that's the only one it says that he saw. And here on the mount, he saw Him only. They saw Him only. Alone. Then we come to Herod. And I know I'm moving through these quickly, but there's a reason. We come to Herod. He sought to see Jesus for a long time. He desired to see Jesus. There's another man in the Bible that says the same thing, and that is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus desired to see the Lord Jesus for who He was. And if you're here tonight and you want to see the Lord Jesus for who he was, that's the right motive. Herod wanted to see him because he wanted to see some great thing done by him. You see the difference? Zacchaeus was saved that day because he wanted to see Christ for who he was. Herod never was answered a word because his motive was just to see entertainment, to see some great thing done by him. And so Herod sees him in his silence. In his silence, the Lord Jesus is brought before him, and Herod is glad. The old fox Herod is glad. Finally, I get to see this man for myself. Finally, I am going to see some great thing done by this man. Finally, I'm going to get to examine this man and see what this man is made of. And so he asks him many things. And the Lord Jesus doesn't answer a word. Maybe you've been wanting to be saved and there's never been a word in reply from the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've wanted to be saved for a long time and there's nothing that seems to come from the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you a little secret about Herod? Herod had no need. Herod's only desire to see him was to satisfy his own curiosity. And he got nothing. He got nothing. I'm not saying that's your problem, but that was Herod's problem. His motive wasn't right. And so he finally gets to see him, and he was glad, exceeding glad. He questioned him many words, and he answered him nothing. This is very sad. He was right in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees him in his silence, and he saw him as the Savior, but he didn't know who he was. He didn't know. What does it say they did to him? And Herod, verse 11, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him. The Lord knew what was in his heart, didn't he? The Lord knows what's in our heart. And this man with such great privilege, he just mocked him. I wonder what he would have done if he'd have saw some great thing done by him. But that wasn't what he wanted. He didn't want the man for who he was. He didn't want this man to reign over him. He didn't want this man to be the Lord of his life. He was a governor by all means. He was in charge of himself. He was very high in authority. He just wanted to see something done. He didn't want to have him as Lord. And the Lord knew that. And all he did was stand there in silence. And they put the robe on him. And they mocked him. It was a gorgeous robe. And they send him away to Pilate. No true desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Life was good. Everything was under control. Why make problems? He had no need. He had no need. See Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus who he was. He was full of need. His need overwhelmed him. He had to get to Christ. Why? Because his sin was bothering him. He was not going to leave any option left undone. And he runs ahead. He climbs up into the sycamore tree. And Jesus passes that way. He goes right to where he is. You see the pattern? For the maniac, Christ goes right to where he was. For Zacchaeus, he goes right to where he was. And they were saved. There was a blessing. He's come right to where you are tonight. Through the preaching of the gospel in this series. Why? Because he knows your need. He knows your sin. He wants to save you. But do you recognize it? Do you recognize it? Then we come to Mary. And as I was reading down through this today, I was underlining the different times that she wept. This woman was really moved. This woman was really sorrowful. We were at a funeral today. And here's a woman, and she goes to the grave. And she sees the Lord Jesus in her sadness. In her sadness. The maniac, he saw him in his sin. This woman, Mary Magdalene, sees him in his sadness. But she doesn't recognize him. Did she not recognize him because of the tears running down her eyes? She's weeping. The one that had forgiven her was dead. The one that she had supposed to be the Messiah, she loved that man. She went to find him, and he was gone. She assumed someone had taken him. And so she stood without, and she wept, and she looked down, and she saw the angels, and they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Maybe there's someone in this room tonight, and in the quietness of your own home, under the cover of darkness, you weep. And the reason you weep is because you can't find your Savior. And you've looked everywhere. And you weep. Here's this dear woman. And she can't find him. He's the only one that she wants. And I know some of you want to be saved tonight. And I know you want to be saved bad. And if you could only just see the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could just find him in your sadness. Who did she find in her sadness? Did she find a dead Savior? No. She found a risen Savior. She found him outside the sepulcher. She found him in her sadness outside the sepulcher. He was risen. He wasn't in the grave. He was risen. God had raised him up from the dead. He was quickened by the Spirit. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it again. And so here is a person in their sadness looking for the Savior, and they can't find him. Maybe, friend, tonight you're looking in the wrong place. He is not on the cross anymore. He is not in the grave anymore. He is risen. He is alive forevermore. He has conquered sin and death and hell. Understand tonight that God isn't expecting you to trust a dead man in a tomb. He's expecting you, and I do say expecting because he is expecting you to believe him. He is expecting you to trust a living man in the glory. In the glory. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Listen, if we look back at a man that was still in the grave and had to say and convince ourselves that that man is going to give me everlasting life and he's still dead himself, we would have a problem. If we'd look back at a grave and there would be a corpse still in the grave and we'd have to say, that man there is going to take my sin away, we would be fools to believe him. But he's alive. He is risen. You see the weight that the resurrection brings? Not only does the resurrection bring the reality that God is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings forth the reality of the power of the Lord Jesus to save. The power of the Lord Jesus to give everlasting life. He that has the Son has life. What good would it be to have a dead man? No, he's alive. Dear friend, tonight, look outside the tomb. Look at the cross, yes, see him die. Appreciate the suffering. Appreciate the payment. Look in the tomb. Stoop low. Take a look at the grave clothes, how they're laid. You'll find he's not there. But look outside the sepulcher. Look to the glory of tonight and see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was dead and is alive forevermore. The one that was and is to come. You see, We couldn't live in a better day. We're not hoping for something to happen. We're not taking a blind step in the dark of faith. Oh, I hope this works, and take the step and hope there's ground there. We're talking about the Savior that has died absolutely and satisfied God and offered Himself a sacrifice for sin absolutely. And we're talking about the one that was buried in the new tomb. And the stone was rolled there, and the watch was set, and He was raised again in power. And now He's alive forevermore. We're looking into the light, not into the dark. Sometimes people think they have to look into the dark and hope to be saved, fingers crossed, holding their breath. My friend, tonight, this is the one that Mary saw outside the sepulcher. And you notice something interesting about it. She didn't recognize him, but He revealed Himself to her. How? He spoke to her. And He's seeking to speak to you tonight. And He's speaking to draw you to Him, the one who has died, the one who was buried, the one who rose again the third day. Listen to what Paul says to Corinthians. I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's nice to learn about, but how do we know it's true? And He was buried. Of course, every dead person is buried, but He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, can you see Him tonight? See Him as the one that died, that you could live. See Him as the one that bore your sin in His own body on the tree. See the one that lives forever. In the power of an indissoluble life, as Stan says, forever. Trust Him tonight. He is alive. Shall we pray? Father, we bow in Thy presence again. We give thanks for this hour as it goes so quickly, and we pray that the Word of God might be a light unto some soul that is longing to be saved. And Father, we pray that they'd consider the reality of the need of salvation, and they've considered already what might be the holdup. And Lord, we've sought to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We pray that they would see no man but Jesus only, and that when they see Him, they might worship Him. And when they see Him, they might see Him in His life. And when they see Him, they might see Him in His glory. Father, we ask now tonight for a night of salvation, and we leave it with Thee, looking to Thee expectantly. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Sing together. verses 1 and 3, and thanks for coming. Please remember the meetings as announced throughout the week.